Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 10th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments, silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3, we have almost completed verse 3. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul addresses the arrogant believers in Corinth, the loser believers. Do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? And the negative may demands the answer, no. No, we don't. But your critical mental attitude toward us says that we do. And then in verse 2, he switches to the winner believers in Corinth. You, winner believers, are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts, and you are known and read again and again by everyone. They are reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. Verse 3. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us. That is, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. So we have here the two parts that are critical, two communicators in grace perspicacity. Now, I have been brought to my attention that I'm using vocabulary that many of you do not understand. Perspicacity. It's got too many letters in it. If I use four-letter words, you understand me. But perspicacity just went shoo, shoo, shoo. So I'm going to give you a little, write this down. God has a grace plan. God's only three letters. Has three. A's only one. Plan. God has a grace plan for you to get the absolute truth of the Scriptures into your heart. God has a grace plan for you to get the absolute truth of the Scriptures into your heart. And there are two essential communicators in this grace plan that God has. And they're both given here in verse 3. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us. There's the first communicator, the spiritual gift of communication. And this included in the pre-canon period of the church age, the apostles, Apostle Paul, and the pastor teachers, Titus and Timothy. So these are all have the communication gifts. In the pre-canon period of the church age, both apostles and pastors were operating. We're living in the post-canon period of the church age, only pastors. There are no apostles today. There are no prophets today. Today, in the post-canon period of the church age, the spiritual gift of communication is the pastor-teacher. So, that's the first communicator given here. By means of being ministered the Word of God by us, the spiritual gift of communication, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine, written not with ink, but here's the second communicator, but by the Spirit of the living God. There's the second communicator. So in this grace plan that God has, He's designed this so that you can get the absolute truth of the Scriptures from the Bible into your heart. There are two absolutely essential communicators. Now, perspicacity is not that tough. And I like Grace Perspicacity. First thing Deb said when she came in here tonight, I don't think you might understand perspicacity. I said, do you? Of course she does. She's an English major. And we play Wordle every morning. But it's only 5 letters, not 12. So there you go. So if I say grace perspicacity now, all of you should be right on board, right? God has a grace plan. He's designed this so that you can get the absolute truth of Scriptures from the Bible into your heart. It demands two essential communicators. The spiritual gift of communication, apostle and pastor in the pre-canon period of the church age, pastor, teacher in the post-canon period of the church age, and God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. There are two persons then who teach the church age believer the absolute truth of the Word of God, and they work together. These two communicators work together, not independently, but together. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher, poimen didaskalos, Ephesians 4:11-14, the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, 1 John 2:26 and 27. So grace perspicacity means that a man with the spiritual gift of communication must teach you the God-breathed Scriptures in conjunction with God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The spiritually mature pastor works together with the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to get the absolute truth of the Word of God in the believer's heart, from the pages of the Bible into your heart. And this is a diagram that puts it all together. Here, let's see. It's already operating. There's the communication gift, pastor-teacher. That starts things off. The pastor-teacher teaches the God-breathed scriptures eisegogically, categorically, exegetically. Ice. And when he teaches it, that's what's going on right now, then you need to assemble filled with the Spirit. Here's the second communicator, God the Holy Spirit. They work together, not independently. They work together in grace perspicacity. So the pastor teaches, what does the pastor teach? He teaches the Logos, the Word of God, eisegogically, categorically, exegetically. Now you have a responsibility to assemble filled with the Spirit. If there's, you need to take the time before we get started to make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, you need to rebound before we get started. Now, a lot of times I will stop and give you that opportunity, especially if I see people I haven't seen before. Give them an opportunity to rebound and make sure they're filled with the Spirit before, otherwise they're just wasting their time. And they're wasting their time, I'm wasting my time. You must be filled with the Spirit, because this communication with from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher must be connected with the filling of the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, takes my communication of the Logos and teaches your soul. And the Holy Spirit, through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, takes the Logos taught by the pastor, and it becomes pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena, as a result of these two essential communicators in grace perspicacity. The spiritual gift, pastor-teacher, God the Holy Spirit. Pastor teaches the Logos, the Holy Spirit takes that Logos, teaches your human spirit, and when he teaches your human spirit, that Logos becomes pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena. Now that spiritual phenomena comes down into the nous. This is the mind, the left lobe of the soul. And now you have gnosis knowledge, gnosis. But that's not the end of the line. The target for the Word of God is your heart. Here's the target. That's the objective. In grace perspicacity, the target is to get the Bible scriptures here into the cardia. So the pastor teaches the Logos, the Holy Spirit, under the filling of the Spirit and teaching the ministry of the Spirit, teaches that doctrine to your human spirit, becomes pneumaticos. It comes down into the mind. Now you comprehend. You comprehend. You can sit there and say, Pastor Olson, I know what you're teaching. Why do you know it? Because the pastor is teaching, but the Holy Spirit is making that spiritual phenomena that you can comprehend. So you say, Pastor Olson, I comprehend what you're saying. But at this point, it hasn't reached the target. The noose is not the target. The cardia is the target, not the noose. So something has to happen before it gets there, and that is positive volition. You have to believe. In other words, Pastor Olson, I comprehend what you're teaching. That's because of grace perspicacity, the two essential communicators. Pastor teaching Logos, Holy Spirit making it spiritual phenomena, comes down and you say, I comprehend what you're saying. And Pastor Olson, I believe it. Now, when you believe it, it goes to the target. This is the target. The cardia, the heart. The objective in your life is to get the scriptures of the Bible into the target. The target is the cardia, the heart. And this is all by grace. When you have comprehension of truth, it's gnosis information. When you believe it, it becomes epinosis doctrine, doctrine you have believed. And now that epinosis doctrine becomes Sophia in the Greek, kokma in the Hebrew, and develops wisdom in your heart, where you can now, from here, not from here, you can't apply anything from here, you can't apply anything till you believe it. When you believe it, now you can apply the Word of God skillfully and accurately to whatever's going on in your life. That's called wisdom. Wisdom. You can apply the Word of God skillfully and accurately from your heart, again, as from the filling of the Holy Spirit, to whatever's going on in your life. And when you have that, why, then you become a self-sustaining believer. You're not leaning on people. You're totally leaning on God. You don't lean on people. And there's a lot of fundy churches that this is a big deal of counseling and all that. The greatest counselor of all time is Jesus Christ. He's called a wonder counselor. The Bible is called the mind of Christ. I do all my counseling right here, right now, through teaching you the God-breathed scriptures, teaching you the mind of Christ. When you, through grace perspicacity, get the Word of God from the Bible into your heart, now God the Holy Spirit takes that mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, and He counsels you. Counsels you in every decision you make in your life, in no matter what it is, in your marriage, in your family, at your job, whatever's going on in the nation or whatever is going on in the world. And that's why this is so critical. And what we have here in 2 Corinthians 3:3 is absolutely one of the most important things. You have to know this, understand this. And grace perspicacity needs to be your life, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Grace perspicacity means that a man with the spiritual gift of communication must teach you Bible doctrine, logos, in conjunction with the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who converts the logos into spiritual phenomena, pneumaticos, and then you comprehend it, and then you must believe it. You can never apply the Word of God if you don't believe it. You know, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're saying, because it's got to this point. No, but I don't believe it. Okay, well, fine. Then you can never apply it either, and you never will, because you don't believe it. So the spiritually mature pastor works together with the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to get the absolute truth of the Word of God to the target zone. And the target zone is the believer's heart. So again, this verse, you keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ, by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine by, well, in this case, Paul, Timothy, and Titus, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Two communicators that must work together for in grace perspicacity. And then he goes on in verse 3 and says, not in tables of stone. This is the objective negative ook plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of plox plus the dative plural of lithenos. The objective negative ook looks like that in the Greek and in the English. The objective negative ook slams the door. Absolutely not. And then we have the preposition and. And "n" here is translated on. And then we have plox. P P-L-A-K-S. Plox. And plox means a flat stone, or a tablet, or a table. We have with plox, lithenos, looks like that, L-I-T-H-I-N-O-S, lithenos. And lithenos, it means something that is made of stone. And here it's referring to the stone tablets of the Mosaic Law. And the principle is the Mosaic Law was given to Israel, not given to the church. The Mosaic Law was given to Israel, not to the church. The Mosaic Law is not the MO for the church age believer. We have been given something very, very special, the unique spiritual life for the church age. The same spiritual life that sustained the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has been passed on to the royal family of God. So our MO is not the Mosaic Law. The MO for the royal family of God is the unique spiritual life. So absolutely not on tablets of stone, the Mosaic Law, but in fleshy tables of the heart. This is the conjunction Allah, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of plox once again, but this time it's not of stone. This is your human heart. And then the dative plural of cardia, modified by the dative plural adjective sarkinos. So we have that. And you enlightened Congress, the ones that are here consistently, you know this before I even tell you. This is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. See, you're smiling at me like you could have taught the class tonight, see? Allah. It's Allah sets up a contrast. A contrast, one, between the age of Israel and the church age. Sets up a contrast between the age of Israel and the church age. We're not living in the age of Israel. We are living in the church age, began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. Two, it sets up a contrast between the ritual plan of God in the age of Israel with the protocol plan of God of the church age. Three, it sets up a contrast between the stone tablets of the Mosaic Law with the tablets of the human heart. Sets up a contrast between the stone tablets of the Mosaic Law with the tablets of the human heart. Four, it sets up a contrast between written with ink with being written by God the Holy Spirit in your heart. It sets up a contrast between written with ink, with being written by God the Holy Spirit in your heart. Five, it sets up a contrast between the veiled glory of the age of Israel with the unveiled glory of the church age. Sets up a contrast between the veiled glory of the age of Israel with the unveiled glory of the church age. Once again, the preposition en means on. The dative plural of plox once again means tablets. But this time, we have tablets of cardiais sarkinis. And that is the dative plural of cardia and sarx. K K-A-R-D-I-A, cardia, cardiology, cardiac, all that from the Greek word for heart. Cardia is the heart, but here it refers to the right lobe of the soul, the target for the Word of God. This is the target. The target is your heart, and it's modified by sarkinos. S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. Sarkinos. And sarkinos means fleshly or made of flesh. And so, one, literally, cardiais, sarkinos. Literally, it's the hearts of flesh. The literal translation would of cardiais, sarkinos, hearts of flesh. Two, this refers to human hearts. To human hearts, the right lobe of the soul. Three, so specifically, this refers to the right lobe of the soul. This is the target for the Word of God in grace perspicacity to get the grace plan to get the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures from the Bible into the right lobe of your soul, the cardia, the heart. Four, the heart or right lobe of the soul is the target for the Word of God in grace perspicacity. There's nothing more important than this. Five, the power of God the Holy Spirit in grace perspicacity and living the spiritual life in the lives of the Corinthians was sufficient recommendation of Paul's ministry. The power of God the Holy Spirit in grace perspicacity and living the spiritual life in the lives of the Corinthians was sufficient recommendation of Paul's ministry. So, verse 3, now we have the whole verse. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us. There's the first essential communicator, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine by Apostle Paul, Pastor Timothy, Pastor Titus, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, the second essential communicator, God the Holy Spirit, taking the Logos, making it pneumatica, spiritual phenomena that you comprehend, and then you have the opportunity of believing. Absolutely not on tablets of stone, Mosaic law, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, this is how God created us. And God, in His infinite wisdom and genius, set up a system that would operate by grace. Every single part of grace perspicacity, it's all grace. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, we don't deserve the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. That's a grace gift to all of us. And Ephesians 4:11-14 tells why. To prepare you, to equip you, to advance you so you can reach spiritual maturity and not be tossed here and there by every wind of false doctrine, but to know God's essence, God's plan, God's grace, and glorify God in your life. And so, that pastor-teacher is grace. God the Holy Spirit is grace. You're indwelt and filled with the Spirit the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. You never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. You can lose the filling of the Spirit through sin. You recover through rebound. And that's grace. Rebound is grace. Getting back in fellowship with God is grace. The filling of the Spirit is grace. The teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, is grace. The whole system God has set up is grace. He's gracing you out. Now, exploit it. Exploit it. Take advantage of it. Use it. God has graced us out and graced us out and graced us out through this whole grace perspicacity system that He set up. Exploit it to the maximum and get what you have in your lap into your heart. That's why you're here. Now, this is so critical, and the spiritual life, that we need to take a look at some very critical concepts of the heart, your heart, the heart of the believer. The Hebrew word for heart is lev. L-E-B. That's the Hebrew word for heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. Lev in the Hebrew, cardia in the Greek. And these words are very rarely, maybe once or twice, used in the Bible for this heart that you have in your chest that beats. Almost never is it used for your heart. It's not used for that pump in your chest. The biblical words for heart are almost always used for the right lobe of the soul. All throughout the scriptures, it's almost 99% of the time it's used for this, not for this. And I know I've told you this, but when I was at Dallas Seminary, I got called in and by some of the big mucky mucks at the school. They were concerned for a couple of reasons. One, they were concerned because I was single and not married. And it was my... Dallas is a four-year seminary. And I was to the fourth year, and I was still single. A lot of the guys there were married. And so the first thing out of his mouth is, "Now, we know Richard." When they call me Richard, I know that I'm in trouble for something. I was in trouble for being single. "Richard, we're a little concerned, you know, because this is your fourth year, and you're probably going to be a pastor of a church, and you are single. And do you not like women?" I'm serious. "Do you not like women?" "Hell no, I love women." I didn't say that. "No," I said, I don't have. "I'm not a homosexual, if you're concerned about that. I'm just waiting for God to bring the right one at the right time, that's all. And when God brings the right one at the right time, I'm just waiting on His grace, that's all, sir. But I have no problem. I'm not a woman hater." And he says, "Okay, well that takes a lot off of our mind. The second thing, we know that you listen to Colonel Theme in Baraka in Houston." I said, "Yes, he's a pastor I have grown up under. I've grown up under a couple of pastors, but he's one of them." And he says, "Well, Richard, you know, it's not only must you have a head belief, but you must have a heart belief. And went way down and grabbed his pump. Got a heart belief. Well, really, he should have, if he's biblical, he'd say, don't just have a head belief, but have a heart belief. You see, that's what he should have done. Or don't have a head belief, left lobe, but have a heart belief, right lobe. He didn't do that either. That would have been biblical. But instead, don't have just a head belief, but have a heart belief. I knew what he was saying. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I understand that. And the Bible, 99% of the time, is talking about up here, your heart. And it's critical. For the spiritual life, it's critical. If you're going to live the spiritual life, if you're going to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, if you're going to honor God and glorify God in the short time while you're here, getting the scriptures by grace into your heart, the target, is absolutely critical. So one, the usage of the word for heart is based on analogy. The usage of the words for heart in the Bible is based on analogy. Two, just as the physical heart is the pump that circulates blood throughout the body and thereby supports physical life, so the heart of the soul circulates Bible doctrine, supporting the spiritual life of the believer. Just as the physical heart is the pump that circulates blood throughout the body and supports physical life, so the heart of the soul circulates the Word of God, supporting the spiritual life of the believer. The physical heart is an intricately woven muscle. The physical heart is a muscle which by rhythmic contraction circulates the blood. It is estimated that the heart pumps 5 quarts of blood every minute, 75 gallons an hour, 70 barrels a day, and if you live to be 70 years old, 18 million barrels. If you live to be 88 years old, the computer broke. Can't figure that one out. Three. Blood cannot support physical life unless it keeps circulating. Blood cannot support physical life unless it keeps circulating. Four, likewise, the Word of God circulating in the soul as the result of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine in your heart, supports your spiritual life. Likewise, the Word of God circulating in the soul as the result of consistently and faithfully getting the metabolization of Bible doctrine, logos becoming pneumatikos, you believe it, becomes wisdom in the heart, that supports your spiritual life. Five, when Bible doctrine reaches the heart, the target, Bible doctrine is converted into spiritual energy. When Bible doctrine reaches the heart, Bible doctrine is converted into spiritual energy. Divine viewpoint thinking. Now you have divine viewpoint thinking. God's problem-solving devices are developed and put out on the flat line of the soul, forward line of troops, so that you can clear all the hurdles of testing that God brings into your life. All of the momentum testing and evidence testing, you can clear those hurdles. And when you clear those hurdles of momentum testing and evidence testing, which is suffering for blessing, well, you glorify God to the maximum. And the spiritual momentum for living the spiritual life. 6, no one can grow spiritually apart from consistently and faithfully getting the Word of God into your heart. And the heart is the target for the God-breathed Scriptures, to get it from the pages of the Bible into your heart. No one can grow spiritually apart from consistently and faithfully getting the Word of God into your heart. The heart is the target for the Word of God. Turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. By the way, Psalm 37 is the Psalm of David. And David had maximum amount of the Word of God in his heart. And that's why God chose David to be king. Not his brother Eliab, who was in the military. Eliab was tall, dark, and handsome in the military. And everybody looked at Eliab and they go, "Oh, that's got to be the one that'll be the king." God says, "No." Why? There's no doctrine in his heart. He's in the military and he's a reversionist. Goliath said, "Send out somebody." And Eliab was a coward. Here's David, a teenager. He's a shepherd. He's not even in the military. But David has a heart full of Bible doctrine. Absolutely full of the Word of God. And when David showed up, and here's all of the Israeli military, cowards. Nobody coming out and facing Goliath. Here comes a shepherd, David. He doesn't have any military equipment, doesn't have a spear, doesn't have a sword, doesn't have any of that. All he has is a slingshot. He couldn't believe watching the military refusing to go out. Somebody refused to go out and face Goliath. David says, "I'll go out and face Goliath." And he's just a shepherd. But what does he have in here? He has maximum amount of the Word of God in his heart. And when he went out, he says, "The battle is the Lord's. Not my battle. The battle is the Lord's. And you are dead, Goliath." And he went out with a rock and a slingshot. Boom! Sunk about 3 inches in his skull. And he was dead. And God chose David to be the next king. Because he looked at his heart, and his heart was full of the Word of God. Well, David is the author of Psalm 37. Psalm 37, look at verse 30. "The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom." Now, okay, what does that mean, the mouth of the righteous? Doesn't mean the mouth of the person who has plus R, who is a believer. Because Eliab is a believer. He's a believer. He's just a reversionistic believer. But he's not a grace-righteous believer. He's not a believer with wisdom. David is a grace-righteous believer. This is the grace-righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer. How do we know that? Because he has wisdom in his heart. His heart is full of the Word of God. The mouth of the grace righteous, but that's the believer in spiritual maturity who operates by sacred honor, virtue, integrity. That's the grace righteous, spiritually mature believer. The mouth of the grace righteous believer utters wisdom because he has that, he has believed the Word of God. It's in his heart and he can apply it skillfully and accurately to his life. And his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. Yes, it was in David's heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Everybody else was impressed by Eliab, David's older brother. Tall heart, tall, dark, and handsome. Not tall, hark, and dancing, but... Tall, dark, and handsome. Everybody thought, yeah, he's the man. They were just looking on the outside. But God looks at the heart. And it was David who had a heart full of the Word of God. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. The doctrine is actually understood, as we went through grace perspicacity, it's understood in the left lobe, comprehension, in the mind. Then your volition has to go into operation. Then you can believe it or reject it. When you believe it, it goes into the heart, the cardia, where it is actually circulated and utilized in your life. 7. The justice of God always bases any function of justice on his knowledge of the situation. The justice of God always bases any function of justice on his knowledge of the situation, and therefore he constantly searches your heart. He constantly searches your heart. He doesn't constantly search your mind. He constantly searches your heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Turn over to Jeremiah 17, 10. Jeremiah 17, 10. Jeremiah 17:10. I, Jehovah, search the heart. The lave here in Hebrew, search the heart for Bible doctrine, and test the emotion. Test the emotions to see if they are subordinate to the Word of God. Now just go over to Jeremiah 20, verse 12. Jeremiah 20, verse 12. O Lord of the armies, you who have tested the righteous, who sees the emotions and the heart. Now turn over to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, 1 and 2. Psalm 26, 1 and 2. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in grace righteousness. The spiritually mature believer with sacred honor, virtue, integrity. Because I have trusted in the Lord and I do not slide into reversionism. Examine me, O Lord, and test my emotions and my heart. And every time it's test my emotions, test them to see if they are subordinate to the absolute truth of your word. Point 8. In Scripture, the heart is used for the place of your divine viewpoint thinking. And the Lord's evaluation of you is what you think in your heart. Turn over to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. This is when Samuel was sent to select the next king. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his outward appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him." That's Eliab. That's David's older brother in the military. "I have rejected him. God sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Turn over to Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7. "As a man thinks in his heart, so he is." The Lord is constantly examining your heart. He's examining your heart to see how much Bible doctrine is there in your heart. That's the target. And if there's maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then virtue love has been brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, and share the happiness of God. So, sub-point 2 of 8. Having a joyful heart means you share God's happiness and have occupation with Christ. Having a joyful heart means you share God's happiness and have occupation with Christ. Two sides of the same coin. If you have occupation with Christ, you share the happiness of God. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine." A joyful heart is good medicine. Turn over to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Let's start at verse 13. "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge," Bible doctrine, "but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast." Now I want you to notice in this three verses, we have a happy heart, a discerning heart, a cheerful heart. A happy heart, a discerning heart, and a cheerful heart. One, God's happiness in the heart makes for not only a cheerful face, but a marvelous life, capacity for life and love and happiness. Two, sub-point two, "But the spirit is broken when the heart is sad, down, or complaining." Complaining and murmuring. These subpoints are all under Proverbs 15, 13 to 15. This passage, Proverbs 15, 13 to 15. Third, eventually your motivation for learning more doctrine comes from the doctrine you already have in your heart, plus the filling of the Holy Spirit. And subpoint 4 of Proverbs 15, 13 to 15. The continual feast. The continual feast of Proverbs 15:15 is consistent and faithful feeding on the spiritual food of God's Word. So point eight, the major point eight, in Scripture, the heart is used for the place of thinking. First, the Lord's evaluation of you is what you think in your heart. Secondly, having a joyful heart means you share God's happiness and have occupation with Christ. And third, the loser believer is arrogant in his heart, while the winner believer has humility. The loser believer is arrogant in his heart, while the winner believer has humility. Turn over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is arrogant. Before his downfall, a man's heart is arrogant, but humility comes before honor. Arrogant thinking in the heart is the believer living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Humility, on the other hand, is teachability, authority orientation, which enables you to live the spiritual life and acquire wisdom through the two essential communicators in grace perspicacity, the pastor-teacher and God the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 18, verse 15, the heart of the wise acquires knowledge, Bible doctrine, consistently and faithfully. The ears of the wise seek it out. Four, the thinking in the heart of a child is often foolishness. The thinking in the heart of a child is often foolishness. Turn over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Now, for those of you who have children, you're bringing them up in a Christian home, fantastic. That's one of the greatest privileges and honors, and there's so wonderful opportunities for you, great opportunities for you. But here's a very important passage you need to know. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. If you love your child, you will discipline your child. If you don't discipline your child, you don't love your child. Now, here's a deep point. Children are not born with lots of wisdom. They have none. They have none. They have lots. They have an old sin nature. They have a lot of foolishness. You train them, and that means they must be disciplined, disciplined, disciplined. And my father disciplined me. He spanked me almost every day. He could have spanked me several times every day. He could have. And I should have been spanked several times every day. When I became a believer in Jesus Christ and started learning Bible doctrine, I realized how much my father loved me. And that changed everything. I realized he did that because he loved me. And even wrote a long letter to him when I was at Wazoo, telling him, Dad, thank you for all the time you took the time to discipline me and spank me. What I see now, you did that because you love me so, so much. And I just can't thank you enough for all of that great training. But here's the verse. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Subpoint 5. What you really are is not what you appear on the surface. It is what you are in your heart. What you really are is not what you appear on the surface. It is what you are in your heart. Turn over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart, his heart reflects the man as to what he really is. People can fake you out on the outside. You can't see their heart. You can't see the heart of another person. God does. But it isn't what you see on the outside. A man's heart reflects a man as to what he really is. It's what he is in his heart. Not what he says by words. Words can be lies or not trying to deceive you in some way, it doesn't mean anything. But what is in his heart? The thinking in the heart, what you really are is not what you appear on the surface, it's what you are in your heart. All right. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about the target. And this is all a part of grace perspicacity. Now you know grace perspicacity. God has designed in His amazing grace a plan in His amazing grace to get the God-breathed scriptures from the Bible to the target zone, your heart. And that requires two communicators, the pastor-teacher in the post-canon period of the church age and God the Holy Spirit. And then it gets all the way from logos converted to pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena. You comprehend it, but then you must believe it. You believe it, becomes wisdom that you can skillfully and accurately apply to your life in any situation, in any circumstance. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, amen.